Welcome everybody to That's a Freebie. Later on in the show today, I'm going to have some more idioms for you. That is part three of three. So the last one, if you didn't hear the previous two episodes and you want to hear the other two sets of idioms, then do feel free to listen to episodes 50 and 51. And without further ado, let's make a start. I am going to open with a that's a freebie. I'm going to open with an ask a freebie question. I will get that right consistently one day. This is the part of the show where I answer questions from all of you. And this week's question is an anonymous question. And the question is, what is your favorite household chore? That is really easy, actually, because I do actually have a favorite household chore. I really, really like. Can't stress enough how much I like doing this. I like doing the washing up. Big fan of it. I don't like any other of the household chores. I do them. I just don't like doing them. I don't like doing the washing. I don't like putting the washing away. None of it. I don't like the. I especially don't like the gardening. I think we've talked about that before. But I really do enjoy doing the washing up. The reason for that is simple. It is. The time where I get to just listen to a podcast or listen to a book and I'm just shut off from the world. That's almost like, I suppose, my meditation time, if you will. I do actually meditate as well from time to time. Not every day, but I do it at least two or three times a week. Not a chore, though. I do find that quiet time just to yourself. Just washing the pots is great. We don't have a dishwasher, and if we did, I would probably still wash the pots in the sink. I imagine everybody says that before they get a dishwasher and then they use the dishwasher all the time. I would probably be no different, because sometimes it is a pain to see just how many pots there actually are. Like if it's the weekend and the kids and the wife have both been off, they're going to build up. There's going to be a lot of them, and of course, my wife's got the kids all day, so she hasn't necessarily got time to do them all. They just kind of pile up a little bit. And then on Mondays when I'm off, like today, I've got loads of free time because the kids are at school. All I need to do is drop them off and pick them up. So that's when I tend to get it all done. I just spend maybe an hour or so, probably not even that. It feels like an hour sometimes, but it's probably not that. Just cleaning away. I have a nice routine. I do all the glassware first. That's not true. I rinse everything first to get all the stubborn food off. I then do all the glassware. I then do all the plates and the bowls and whatnot. Whilst I'm doing this, the cutlery is all building up in the bottom. And then what I generally do at that point is the water's going to be pretty dirty at that point. So I empty the sink. I rinse all the cutlery that's already in there because that's caught all the loose bits of food. And then I fill the sink back up and I do the cutlery. Followed by anything that's greasy. If there's anything that needs to soak, I'll probably empty the sink again, clean the sink so that the grease doesn't stay in the sink, and then fill it up again and leave anything that needs to soak. Quite often, don't really need to soak anything because I'm quite in the habit of, if I see something that I think is going to need a soak, I'll just pour a little bit of washing up liquid in the bottom of it, pour a bit of water in it and just leave it soaking on the side a little bit while everything else builds up. So yeah, that's my washing up habits. Bet you didn't expect to hear that today, did you? If you'd like to ask a question to open up the show, all you do is go to thatsafreebie.com, and at the top of the page, there is a button that says Ask a Freebie. You click that, it takes you to a form. If you're asking a question that you don't want read out on air, but you would like an answer to, click the box that says I don't want it read out on air, but put your email address in or some way for me to contact you. The other alternative is you could always go over to YouTube or the Patreon, and you can ask a question on there and I can answer it directly on those pages. It's the theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
I heard on a podcast this week that if you say the lyrics to Bohemian Rhapsody to a digital assistant, it will always complete them no matter which lyrics you say. So no matter which part of the song you say, it will complete them. So I thought to myself, I'd give it a try. So I said, hey, digital assistant, I'm just a poor boy from a poor family. And it responded, if you think it's serious, you should seek medical attention. Would you like me to call the emergency services for you? So no, that doesn't work. I did try several other lines from the song, and it just didn't do it. It never gave any answer that was quite as funny as that one, but it didn't work. So a bit disappointed in that one. This week, I have had more shenanigans with my daughter. It all started a week and a half ago-ish, something like that. I can't remember if I mentioned this actually on the podcast, because it happened just before sports day, and well, the part of it happened before sports day, and I was quite proud, and I may have shared it. I can't remember if I shared it or not. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm going to share it again now, so you're going to have to hear it twice if I already did. She, as you know, as mentioning before, she does have a person at school who she calls her enemy. And this person has very similar issues to her, and they both just clash. They're not allowed in the same room. Well, they're allowed in the same room together, but they are sat on opposite sides of the room. They try not to interact very much, and whenever they do interact, they just clash, and it results in either her hurting him or him hurting her. It's usually, to be honest, her hurting him. She is the one that lashes out. He gets angry and stomps about and throws stuff about, apparently, but she does lash out, so that's her thing, which hard to try and stop because we're not there, but she's getting better at it. The incidents are getting less and less frequent. Anyway, she came home the other day, and she mentioned that she bought this person a cookie, because there's a thing at school where they're selling like stationery and cakes and things like that. It's all to raise money for the school. I thought, okay, why did you buy him a cookie? Not that you can't buy him a cookie. If you want to buy him a cookie, buy him a cookie. She said, well, he was a bit upset because somebody stole his candy floss and I wanted to cheer him up. I was like, that was really nice of you, considering that you call him your enemy. It's really nice that you still wanted to cheer him up. And she said, yeah, well, we've sat down and we've had a conversation and we've decided it would be easier if we were friends, or sometimes friends. She used the term frenemy, which I don't think she really understood what that meant. When I explained it to her, she was like, oh, that's not what we mean. We mean we're going to try and be friends, and then if we fall out, we'll still try and be friends afterwards. They've started trying to play together. They've got their other friends to help them when they get into heated situations. And I said, wow, that's actually very mature of you. Well done. I'm dead proud of that. And she said, yeah, we just started to be easy because we both keep getting in trouble and we don't want that anymore. Roll on another week. Well, actually, at sports day, they were sitting next to each other. They were talking to each other. They were laughing at each other's jokes. It was quite cute. I was like, wow, you two have really turned a corner. That is amazing. And then a week later, we go to pick the kids up from school, and the teacher says, can I just have a quick chat with you a second? I'm like, yeah, of course you can. What's going on? I said, well, there was an incident today in PE, and your daughter, obviously they use her name, your daughter injured another child. I can't tell you who that child is. They never do. We always know, because obviously she tells us. But she said she injured another child. So I said, oh, okay. So what happened? She said, she beat him with a tennis racket. Oh, no. What do you mean by beat him? Well, she hit him repeatedly with it. Like, okay. She said, anyway, we've had a discussion about it. She understands that it was wrong. And they've shook hands. So everything's all right there. But we thought we'd let you know, just so you can have a word with her. Like, okay, thank you very much. Took her home. Like, right, explain to us what went on. He took my ball, so I beat him up. I'm like, brilliant. Why did you do that? And she did say, she says this every time, but we can't tell if it's true or not. She says that she didn't even know she'd done it. She just blanked out, and then when she came back around, she'd done whatever she'd done. Now, it always transpires a little bit later down the line that she did fully know what she was doing, because she always starts talking about the situation, and she essentially admits that she knew. She just was trying to pretend otherwise. So as the days have gone on, sure enough, she said they've made friends again now. And she said she's apologized for hitting him. He's apologized for taking a ball off her. So we're like, oh, so you do know you hit him then? And she was like, well, maybe I remember it. So interestingly, though, she did say that she would like to try some therapy, like as in she actually asked for it. And then when I asked her what she thought that was, it turns out she didn't actually know what therapy was. But when I described it to her and told her how it works, she actually seemed interested in it. So we're currently in the process of seeing if we can get someone for her to talk to, because I think she would definitely benefit from it. What's really been getting on my nerves this week? I'll tell you what's really been getting on my nerves. Those people who feel the need to park really, really close to you. So I'm parked outside of school, dropped the kids off, and the car behind me had parked so close to me that it was touching the bumper. I say he, I don't know if it was a he. They were touching the bumper of my car. No damage, and I can absolutely just drive forward. There's a space in front of me that's about half a car length, right? So I gets in the car, starts the car. I actually had a few messages I need to send, and I was writing some notes down. As I'm doing that, the car pulls up at the side of me and thought to themselves, I want to park in that space where he is, as in the space in front of me that's half a car length. Like, it's half of my car length, right? So there was no car fitted in there. You wouldn't have got a Mini in there. And I'm talking the old Mini, a Mini Cooper, the ones that were actually little tiny things, would not have fit in the space, right? Now, there was a lot of cars on the road this day, I assume. So where I park, there's a church across the street. And looking at everybody's attire, I'm assuming there was a wedding going on. If there weren't, and it was something else, they were dressed inappropriately for it. So it was, hopefully it was a wedding. And what everyone were doing, we were parking along this main road. This person decides, I'm going to park in that space. So pulls up at the side of me, pulls forward, and then starts trying to get into the space. And was never going to fit. Comes far enough back that touches my front bumper, right? Bear in mind, all this time, I'm in my car. One of the passengers has gotten out of this other person's car and is trying to guide them backwards and has seen me, right? So I saw them lock eyes with me, so they knew I was there. They pulled back. They touched my bumper. I felt my car rock a little bit. And then I thought, it's not going to have done any damage. It's fine. I'm not that kind of person where I get really upset over that. I would go out and double check that there's no damage to either of our cars, but it was just a rocking, right? It wasn't a banging. And so I waited, and what did she do? She got out the car and started walking across the street. And I swear to God, so she stopped with her car touching my bumper, and the front wheels and the front of the car was parallel to the other car that was in front. She wasn't in the space. Oh my God, you couldn't have walked between them. It was mad. She was just sticking out to the right into the road, and she started walking across the street. So I quickly turned my window down, and I went, excuse me? And she's like, yeah, you're right. I said, do you plan on leaving your car there like that? And she went, oh yeah, I'm going across the road to the church. So I was like, well, one, it's sticking out into the road, and it's a main road. That's going to get hit. And I'm not talking a little bit sticking out. I wish I could show you. I should have taken a picture and posted it on social. It was sticking right out into the road. Like, it wasn't even halfway into a space, right? I said, and you're touching my bumper, so I can't get out now. And you've just seen me sat there. And she went, but I've got to get to the church. So I was like, oh, how about you move, I pull out of the space, and then you've got space to get into this space. And she went, but I've got to get to the church. I'm like, right, you're not getting this. And she said, well, I really need to go to the church. I'm going to be late. So I was like, well, if you don't move your car, it's going to be really awkward when I'm stood in the church at the side of you going, move your car, move your car, move your car, move your car, over and over again, isn't it? And she went, you wouldn't do that. So I got out of the car and started following her. Which sounds really creepy. I realise that now. I got out of the car and started walking across the street. Let's put it that way. And she went, oh, fine, okay, I'll move. And then it dawned on me as well where we were. So I looked across the street at the church, and there's this thing next to the church, and it's amazing. I'm surprised more and more people don't have them. It's called a car park, and it was empty. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, there's a church, there's a car park there for the church. There's even a big sign that says the church car park. Obviously, it says the name of the church. And it's for the pub at the side of it. And it says, users of the church, the pub is called the church, users of the church and users of the name of the church may use this car park. And she went, oh, I didn't see that. And I looked up and down the street. I was like, yeah, clearly nobody did. I mean, it's across the street. And if you don't live there, maybe you wouldn't know, but. Yeah, really annoyed me. And I've got a bonus one this week as well. something else that really annoys me. I could have saved it for next week, but no, I really wanted to do this one this week because it's happened several times. That is people that do not ring your doorbell, specifically delivery drivers. So we've had several parcels from all from Amazon, actually, this week. And the driver has walked up to the door, banged on it as hard as possible, and then got us run to the car and sat in the car because it was raining. I don't blame him for not wanting to get wet. But I saw all this afterwards on the Ring doorbell because I'd had notifications while I was at work that, well, actually, I hadn't. I had the motion notifications turned off. I only have it set to send me a notification if you ring the bell, which I imagine most people do because it'd be going off all the time otherwise. And so I saw him do this 5 times throughout the course of the day. He'd pull up, he'd run out the car, thump the door as hard as he could, and then run back to his car. And eventually, he just left the parcel around the back. But if he'd have just pressed the doorbell, I would have known. I would have got a notification. I have this great thing called hearing aids. And what they do is they go, somebody's at your front door. It's brilliant. It reads your notifications to you. So I would have known. And I would have been able to say, hey, it's okay to just leave that around the back. Don't worry about it. But no, never rang the doorbell once. Here is our final installment of the idiom category that we've been going through. And I'm going to go straight into them this week. Number one is bite the dust, and it means to die or to fail. This phrase comes from the 18th century poem, the Iliad, where it is used to describe soldiers falling in battle. The best of both worlds, meaning a situation where one can enjoy the advantages of two different things simultaneously. The origin of this phrase is unclear, but it has been used since at least the 19th century to describe an ideal situation. Number three, birds of a feather flock together. It means people who are similar in some way tend to associate with each other. This idiom is derived from nature, where birds of the same species often group together. It dates back to at least the 16th century. Caught between a rock and a hard place is number four, and it means facing a difficult decision with no good options. This phrase comes from early 20th century America and was originally used to describe a mining dispute where miners were forced to choose between poor working conditions or unemployment. Number five, don't count your chickens before they hatch, meaning don't assume you'll get something before it actually happens. This proverb goes back to at least the 16th century and is attributed to Aesop's Fables, advising against assuming future success too early. Yes, you should absolutely never assume future success too early. Number six, every cloud has a silver lining. This means that there is something good in every bad situation. This phrase is attributed to John Milton's 1634 poem, Comus, suggesting that even dark clouds have a bright edge. Number seven, jump on the bandwagon. It means to join others in doing something that is currently popular. Basically, everything that happens on TikTok, right? This phrase comes from the 19th century America, where political campaigns used bandwagons in parades to draw attention. People would literally jump on the bandwagon to show their support. Number eight, kick the can down the road. It means to postpone dealing with a problem. This phrase comes from a children's game where players kick a can along the street, metaphorically postponing addressing the issue. Number nine, make a long story short. I say that a lot, and then I say the long story, which is hilarious. To get to the point of the story quickly, this idiom has been used since at least the 1800s to indicate a summary of a longer narrative. Narrative. Number 10, miss the boat. To miss an opportunity. This idiom comes from literal situations where one might miss the boarding of a boat, thus missing the journey or opportunity that it provided. If you have any topics that you would like me to cover on Pod Tales, whether it be from Wikipedia or from around the web, anything, that's the whole point of the Pod Tales section, is I can talk about anything that you or I want. Feel free to send them in using the feedback form on the website as part of Ask a Freebie. Or you can always email me at hello@thatsafreebie.com with any suggestions that you've got. This is the part of the show where I say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for any support that you've given me. And to remind you that there are two ways you can support the show, one of which is to go to the website, thatsafreebie.com, and choose to subscribe to That's a Freebie Plus. That's a Freebie Plus gives you access to the raw uncut feed, gives you access to the Discord channel, and it gives you access to any bonus episodes that I make. Some bonus episodes will be made available to everybody, but the majority of the bonus episodes are all part of That's a Freebie Plus, and there have been quite a few of them lately. The other way you can show your support is simply by adding a star review in your favorite podcast client, or heading over to YouTube and liking the podcast on there, sending in feedback, sending in comments, and using the Ask a Freebie form. That would be wonderful. Thank you very much. This week's pick of the week is a website called 1 million checkboxes, and it is really, really straightforward. So all you do is you go to 1millioncheckboxes.com. There will be a link to it in the show notes, or you can just go to 1millioncheckboxes.com, all words. So, you know, onemilliongcheckboxes.com. And the dot is a dot, not the word dot. I know I said all words. I was wrong. It is quite a unique website, and it's just a little bit of fun. So everybody who goes to that website loads the same page. Now, I know you might think that, well, that's how websites work, but it's not always how it works, because you're all loading a version of that page. You're all loading things that are in the cache. So if something changes on the page, not everybody sees the thing that changes on the page. Necessarily, it can happen, but more often than not, you're seeing the cached version of the page in front of you that you originally visited. However, with 1millioncheckboxes.com, you all see the exact same page. So anything that happens on that page, you are sharing with everybody who's on that page at that time. And why is that relevant? Well, this page just has 1 million checkboxes on it. Like, literally, just all got checkboxes, a million of them, all running through your screen. It like take over the whole screen of the web browser. And you can check them on and off. And while that sounds really, really simplistic, it's actually a lot of fun trying to make a pattern with the checkboxes and then somebody else coming along and unchecking it. And you get into little battles with people where you're trying to uncheck one line and they're rechecking that line. And I don't think there's ever been a situation where everything is checked all at once or everything is unchecked all at once. And it's surprisingly fun. It's a bit like, now that I think about it, it's a bit like... what's it called? Bubble wrap. You know, where you pop the bubbles on the bubble wrap. I suppose it's like a modern day equivalent of bubble wrap, or a digital equivalent, because I suppose the modern day equivalent of those pop-it things, aren't they? I've been on this quite a lot over the last few days, and really therapeutic, definitely worth a try. I would suggest at least giving it 5 minutes. Last week, I asked you the question, are you a middle lane hogger? And the majority of people that messaged me back said, no, they all like to go to the left-hand lane where possible. And then, of course, the question is, am I a middle lane hogger? And the answer is no, I would always try and go to the left-hand lane as soon as I can. However, there are some exceptions to the rule. And those exceptions are, if I can see down the lane that I'm going to take over the next three cars, I'll stay in the middle lane until I've done it. And this is a common one, and actually this one is what made me ask the question in the first place. So where I live, when you go down the motorway to head towards the junction for my slip road, there's essentially, the motorway is four lanes, and two lanes go in one direction and two lanes pull off to another direction. So I know full well that that's going to happen. So I will be in the third lane, usually quite early, because it gets very busy on this section of the motorway. And people tend to not want to let you across. because, you know, people can be not nice, right? And so what I will do is I'll stay in the third lane. And it's surprising how many people do honk the horn at you or give you a dirty look as they're going past you in the fourth lane. And I get it, because it looks like you're hogging that lane. But at the same time, I know I'm coming off soon. And yes, yeah, so they're the only exceptions where I probably wouldn't move to the left. But yeah, for those who are wondering what the hell we're talking about here, is you absolutely, when you're driving down the motorway, should always be in the left-hand lane, unless you're overtaking. You shouldn't be driving down the left-hand lane and essentially hogging that lane. The way I always look at it is, if you're in that lane and there are people overtaking you in the lane next to you on the right, like some call it the fast lane. It's not the fast lane. It's just another overtaking lane. You just happen to be going faster than the other car. If you're in that lane, if somebody's overtaking you in that lane, you probably need to move, because they needed to get past and you were hogging the lane. You were making it hard for traffic to move. And that's usually what causes the traffic jams that you see on the motorway. So, you know, fix the problem by doing the right thing. I do have another question this week, and this one is, I've actually wrote it down as, are you a nose poker? Now, I don't mean, do you walk around booping people on the nose? Because you shouldn't do that, even though it is funny to boop the snoot. No, what I'm talking about here is, you know when you're at a junction and people will slowly but surely creep over the line to try and push out into traffic? Is that you?